Freedom Guns is your local gun store for the Rockledge Coco area in Brevard County, Florida. Stop in and meet Mike and the gang and see the great deals they have on long guns, handguns, accessories, ammunition, AR build kits, and Liberty safes that come with free delivery and installation. They're located at 1255 Florida Avenue, just north of Rockledge High School. For more information, check them out at freedom-guns.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
The Shooting Straight Radio podcast is proudly sponsored in part by The Gun Sight in Merritt Island, with a 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, handgun and machine gun rentals, a fully stocked gun store with plenty of long guns, handguns, ammunition, and accessories to choose from. They're your one-stop shop in Merritt Island for all things necessary to responsibly exercise your Second Amendment right. Check them out at gunsightrange.com or stop by in person at 125 South Banana River Drive. And make sure you tell them that you heard about the Gun Sight on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
You heard the man, he said it twice. Let's go. We are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is the podcast all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. I am Royce, your host, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and a faint yet wildly tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people. Hops number 9, you better believe it. If you'd like to help sponsor the program, you can do that at shootingstraightradio.buzzsprout.com and join the others who have graciously made a monthly donation to the furtherance of this program. Thank you all. Thank you one and all. Also want to remind you to, if you're having hearing issues, to go see my friends who gave me my hearing back out at Ear Care of Melbourne. Go out there and see Glenn Oberbeck and his family out there. Get an audiogram. See what kind of damage has been done and get it taken care of. I love the hearing aids they set me up with. I can program them with my phone. Even in a noisy restaurant, I can adjust the hearing to only hear the people at my table and not the din around me. So check them out at Ear Care of Melbourne. They're at 7777 North Wickham Road. Now, I told you I got some great guests coming up, and my guest today is quite a character. He's been on my program before, back when I was live on WMMB, and I think at least once or twice since I took it off the radio and put it on podcast. This man has served 10 years in 1st Special Forces Operational Detachment D, that's Delta Force for the uninitiated. He is an assaulter, explosives, mechanical, ballistic, and manual breacher, team leader, 3rd Special Forces Group, Green Beret, and as a light and heavy weapons expert, team sergeant, and 82nd Airborne Division, 325th Infantry. If that wasn't enough, he also worked 9.5 years as a paramilitary operative for USG, and he's worked with as a contract security specialist a COO, vice president, and president for various security companies. He's applied his skills and knowledge on a myriad of security challenges around the world. And I'm going to add this part to his bio. Even his mustache, which is tactically functional, has 27 confirmed kills. He's used it as cover during firefights, even as a garrote to take out enemy sentries, used it as a tourniquet, and even once used it as a reserve parachute to glide safely back to Earth after his main chute malfunctioned. That would make him none other than Mr. Dale Comstock. Dale, how you doing, brother?
Man, you got me cracking up. That was funny.
I'll send it to you.
Awesome, man. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show, brother. Well, appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the program. It's always a blast when you're here. And we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, I know you're a patriotic American just like me and many others who are your stripe and my stripe. And we don't like to see what's going on in this country right now. And we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But you and I also talked about one of your friends who was recently done very dirty by the Alpha Tango Foxtrot, a federal agency of whom I am not a fan at all. I'm sure you're not either. And I think he was done very wrong by some dishonorable people. The people who arrested him would never hold a candle to a man like him. And there was no victim to his alleged crime. There was, that seemed to me, it was just some sort of a technicality on the NFA. Anything you can throw some light on about Larry for us?
Yeah. So, me and Larry go way back. I used to be his team leader, troop sergeant major in the unit. And so I know Larry very well. We were on a team together for a long time. And here's what I know about Larry, man. At least, maybe people change, but I doubt, man. His character, I'm sure, is the same character. But, Larry was always the guy that tried to do the right thing. He was pretty outspoken about that. Not that we try to do the wrong thing, but he was always the guy that said, let's keep it within the left and right limits. Let's do the right things. He was a man of integrity, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And when I heard about what happened to him, I was actually pretty shocked by that. And I'm with you on board with this because, look, man, there's an agenda out there. And, Larry has got a huge presence.
Yes.
On the internet, in the firearms community.
Yep.
He's got a voice. There's a lot of guys out there have a voice. I'll use Andrew Tate. There's another guy, right? This guy's locked up again. It seems like anybody that's got some influence has got a voice and is particularly conservative or right-leaning is a potential target, including myself. I've already been targeted. I can talk about that a little bit later on, what happened to me. My wife basically got deported, but my wife got deported. She's she was married to me in the United States, been back and forth. We've applied for her green card. She got a DOD dependent ID card and got deported right at the airport with me. But that's another story.
Yeah, you told me about that before, I think.
Yeah, the reality is this, man. There's going to be guys in the X, man. They're going to be targets, man, because if you have any juice, if it's perceived that you have people's ear and you could potentially sway people in a direction that's away from the agenda of the left, you're a target. So going back to Larry, when I heard all about that, here's the bad side for Larry. This is what a lot of people, I'm sorry, I keep hitting my tail. I got allergies here, but
me too.
Here's the downside for better, particularly retired veterans. Okay. So as a retired veteran, which Larry is, all right, he's got a retirement check. I'm pretty sure he's getting a disability check. Did you know that if you are arrested and confined, I believe it's more than 90 days, or you're brought up on a felony charge and you're in jail for 90 days, even though you haven't been charged yet, you could potentially lose your retirement and your disability check, hands down.
Wow.
Why? Because as a veteran, you still follow under a uniform code of military justice, right? So as a veteran, you're actually not free. Yeah, think about that for a minute.
Really?
You served your time. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're not free because you still fall under UCMJ. So with that said, if you do anything that the government deems unbecoming of, I guess, a retired soldier now, because it used to be unbecoming of a soldier. Now, because you're retired, I guess, unbecoming of a retired soldier. You are now subject to, you know, potentially losing your disability, your retirement check, and other things, and benefits. Now, why would the government do that? I thought long and hard about that. Why would they do that? Well, if you think about it, the most dangerous men in America are veterans, yes. Right? Retired veterans, particularly. Why? Because those old dogs, we don't have a whole lot left to lose, and we're outspoken. You know, we've seen enough BS in the world, and in particular in our country. And we're the reason we're retired is because we made it for the 20 or 30 years or whatever time we were spending in the military, and so forth. We're conditioned. We're leaders. We come from a system. You know, the military sunk system that is a very morale system. Is very moral. I'm sorry, not morale, but very moral. Has ethics. Is very regimented, and probably one of the last bastions of civility left in society. I mean, there's, you know, all this crap they've tried to say, oh, you know, racism is well alive. That's all a bunch of crap.
Yes, okay? Sir.
That's an outright lie, okay? What they're trying to do, again, it's propaganda by the left.
Yep.
But reality is this. The most dangerous men in our country are veterans like me and like Larry.
Yes.
Right? We're up there in age, and we don't have a lot to lose. We do still have something to lose, but some of us, like, you know what? Go ahead, man. You go ahead and try to take my family's freedom. You go ahead and see what I'll do to you. I will freaking destroy you, man. I have not a whole lot left to lose other than my life. You know, my family will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was the play when they, and I don't know when they started this policy or when this law came in effect, but I know it is in effect. So Larry potentially could lose his retirement check. And if he was disabled, guess what? The military damaged his body, but they're going to go, you know what? Screw you. We're going to keep the money and not pay you for your damages also. Right. So
Wow. Ask
yourself, does that sound fair? Does that sound fair?
No.
It's not fair, right? You sacrifice your life and your body for the government. And then because you don't toe the party line and maybe you say something negative about the president, the commander in chief, which, by the way, this moron is no commander and no, definitely no chief.
Yep.
But if you disparage him in any way, you're now subject to UCMJ. Can be tried, and if you find yourself in jail or in Larry's situation, he could very easily lose all his benefits for life. Everything he worked for and earned, okay, could be out the window because of this. You know, I just hope he's got a nice nest egg stashed away because, you know, this man could potentially lose a lot more than his freedom. He could lose his money and his retirement and everything that his family might be depending on. You know,
right.
So there's the sadness. There's the sad story right there. That's the scary part for veterans. Is a lot of veterans are afraid to speak up because they fall under UCMJ still, right? And they don't want to lose their retirement checks and their disability and their benefits, even though they worked for them, they earned them. And really, you know, their freedoms and their freedom of speech, their First Amendment rights shouldn't be contingent on, you know, their past military service.
Right.
And what you do today. There's no way, right? How is that fair? How is that free freedom? It's not. And again, the only thing I can come up with is this is the way the U.S. government keeps the most dangerous men in check in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that is this technique right here.
Yep. I believe that too. They definitely fear you guys, and rightly so, because let's put it this way. Even the good book says the wicked flee when no one pursues. So when they start being preemptive like this against you veterans, you know that they're up to no good, that they know that they're up to no good, and they fear retribution, and they fear men like you, men like Larry and others who have been out there and fought for us and laid your lives on the line for our freedoms and everything else. Yeah, they definitely fear you for a reason. That's because they're up to no good, period. That's my two cents.
And here's the paradox, right? Here's the paradox. So Larry, you know, he purchased some, you know, whatever firearms he's not supposed to have, right? And actually, from what I understand, there were some classic relics, you know, collector's items, and he wanted to have one, right? And look, if anybody should own a weapon like that, it should be Larry.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? He knows what he's doing. He's not a criminal, okay? And so you can argue, well, you know, there's laws in place and he broke the law. Yeah, well, how about this, man? You know what? Now we have people in our justice system going, oh, yeah, illegal aliens, criminals. That's what they all are. They're all criminals. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Yep.
You came across the border illegally. You are a criminal.
Yep.
You do not belong in our country. And now they're saying, oh, they have a right to have a gun. Are you joking me? So You don't think there's a problem with that? You're going to say, okay, all you criminals can have guns, but guys like Larry that's defended this country and protected this country and everything that we are has now been basically, I think he was arrested. I'm not sure, but he definitely was charged. And now he's going to, you know, he's looking at a very long time in jail if they go through with the charges. I'm sure he's going to get him with something. He's going to get a felony. More than likely, they're going to make an example out of him. They're going to make sure he can't have his hands on weapons.
Yeah.
But here, that's the paradox, man. On one hand, you know, we're allowing criminals to come across the border and we're allowing them to arm themselves. We're allowing them to move into people's empty homes and occupy it and not leave. We're giving these people debit cards with tons of your tax money on it. Okay. We're giving them air travel. We're giving them free medical and we're ferrying them wherever around this country they want to go. You don't think any of that is illegal? Of course that's illegal.
Yes.
Everything about that is completely wrong. And here we go. You know, now they're going to go after this man, okay, because of what? Because he wanted to buy a weapon? Okay, so what? He bought the weapon. How about this?
He had an
take
FFL.
Take the weapon from him. Yeah, exactly. And if it's really an issue, take the weapon from him, give him a slap on the wrist, give him a small fine, say, don't do it again. If you do it again, then there'll be consequences.
Right.
That's how it works. Because like this, right? One of the most important tenet a law enforcement agency can have, and even a judge, is called discretion.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Discretion. If you don't have discretion, and if you're just going to go ahead and just apply the law as it is, and with no discretion, then you've got to do it. You've got to do it equally across the board. Everybody that's breaking the law has to get the maximum consequences. And sentence, and they're not doing that. It's very arbitrary, right? And look, it's very, no doubt about it, they're targeting conservatives on the right, and they're letting the left get away with whatever the hell they want.
Yep.
And this is not a conspiracy theory. Remember, we talked about this before. You know, a couple of years ago, everybody thought, oh, you're just a bunch of conspiracists, blah blah blah. Here it is. Here we are. It's definitely not a conspiracy. It's actually happening, and you got more than half the country. The useful idiots going along with the program, and they're still blind to what's going on. They still don't want to believe it, right?
Yep.
I believe the term's called information upgrade or something like that. But basically, even though they in their face they see the truth, they still want to deny it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we, you know, as conservatives, and particularly as the minority in this country, how the hell do we compete against these idiots that are allowed to greed and vote? They outnumber us. And I said this the other day on a podcast. I said, the problem with the left in our country, all right, and I'm going to put all the Democrats in this category. And I'll tell you why I'm putting all the Democrats in this category in a second. Here's the thing. I consider them terrorists. The difference is between Al-Qaeda and ISIS, who use bombs and weapons to destroy people's lives. The liberals in our country, the Democrats in this country, use policy to destroy people's lives.
Yes.
Okay, and it's insidious, and it's a long term, and it's slowly catching up with us. And eventually, you know, guys like me and Larry won't have the First Amendment rights. We won't have Second Amendment rights. And people that open their mouth are suddenly going to get censored and probably find themselves in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, right? So, I when people go, well, you know, not all Democrats are that bad. Well, let me tell you something about that one. Okay, here's the deal. Democrats, all right, they support abortion right up to end of term. And the baby's still alive on the damn abortion table. You can still let it die, right? We're not trying to save its life, okay? They're outright murderers. I don't care what your policy is on that. The way I see it like this, if you're a Democrat and you support abortion, which you do, by the way, by proxy, by being a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
you're a murderer by proxy, you know.
Yep.
And I know that sounds harsh. People go, oh my God, no, you are a murderer by proxy. That would be like someone saying, well, listen, I'm in the KKK, but I don't believe in lynching. You can't be all halfway right. in, halfway out.
Yeah.
You're either all in or you're all out, right?
Right.
It's like, it doesn't work that way. You know, and if you're a Democrat, you believe in murdering babies, period. Done. Period. I don't give a shit what people think. You're part of that system that's taking lives and now taking freedoms and censoring people's. Look what happened with the COVID vaccine. Okay, how many people were forced to take it? And now they're coming. Nobody was forced to take it. No, you know what? When you compel people to take a vaccine or lose your job and your livelihood, that's forcing people. That's compulsion.
Yeah,
man.
Or you're thrown out of the military. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, this whole world is gone. I mean, it's not just our country either, by the way. You know, I got a lot of friends here, foreign friends from everywhere, from Australia to Britain. And, you know, I've got a lot of coaching clients literally in Europe and Germany and Ireland. And it's the same mess everywhere. The only place that's not losing their damn mind is the East and the Middle East. You know, they're the only ones that they're playing by a whole different set of rules. They're playing to win, and we're playing some kind of stupid game to appease everybody, and it's not working, man. They're laughing at us.
Yes.
They're laughing at us. And is it because we're just naive and dumb? No. There's a bigger plan at play.
Yep.
For sure. There's a bigger system at play, bigger than most of us know. And they are playing it well. They are playing it well.
Well, what about there in Bali, Indonesia, where you're at right now? Is this the same thing going, same kookery going on?
No, dude, that's the funny part, man. I live here. There's a lot of expats here. Not a lot of Americans, but a few, but mostly Australians, Europeans, lots of Russians here. In fact, now they call it Little Moscow. All the Russians ran from the war. And they moved to Bali, right? To dodge war. So the Ukrainians. So, but there's a lot, it's a mixed bag here, but here's one thing I love about Indonesia, you know, and particularly Bali. You know, nobody gives a shit about your religion or anything. Nobody's trying to eat out of your rice bowl. Nobody's seeing how full your rice bowl is. Nobody cares. Everybody just worries about their business. And literally you have Christians, you have Muslims, you have Hindu, you have Buddhists all living amongst themselves. And there's no drama. There's no nothing, man. No malcontents. Everybody's just worrying about trying to stay alive and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see this mess here. You do not see or hear the crap that we have in our country. In fact, these people here are shaking their heads going, what is going on with your country, man?
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to get their head around this thing. It's like, and they're very conservative here. You try overstaying a visa here in Indonesia, see how that works for you. In fact, you try going in any country illegally and see how that works.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're not going to turn you around, put you on an airplane, say, go away. You're going to spend some time in their gulag, all right? And you're going to have some time in purgatory to think about what you did, and it ain't going to be fun.
Well,
it'll be like an American prison, I'll tell you that.
I got a feeling that if you had a group of people charge the border there or any other country on the planet, that they would probably be machine gunned down. Would that be a safe assessment?
Well, I can tell you this. I'll tell you this. I've seen this. If you're, you know, here they call us, you know, they call us boules, right? B-U-L-E. Like, I guess that's, I don't know if that's for any expat, but I know for sure for white expats, you call them boule, right? But they don't tolerate a lot of crap out of us. And in fact, there was a guy here, a French guy, was going around, horsing around, and he was just taking people, going to the shops, taking their stuff. He was a big guy, too, French guy on steroids. He walked down the street, and he was kind of wheeling his knife around, talking shit. Well, guess what the cops did? They put him down. They let the air out of him, like just like that. Poof, done. They're not going to talk you off the ledge. You know, come on, buddy, put your knife down. Let's go. No. You screw around here? Yeah, they're gonna aerate you, man. They're gonna put lots of holes in you.
They're gonna ventilate you, man. Huh?
You know? Yeah, dude, and do not come in this country and harass or in any way screw around with a local, with an Indonesian. You do not do that. You don't. God forbid you put a hand on them. You're done.
Mm.
They will not tolerate a foreigner coming in their country and harassing or messing with any of their citizens, man. They will not. Like in our country, what are they doing, man? They're stabbing people, raping people, killing people now. You know, taking their homes. And we just tolerate it. You won't get away with that, at least not here in Indonesia. And I'm pretty sure the Philippines is the same, Thailand, and most of Southeast Asia. Because I travel these countries quite a bit. And completely different mindset. These people here actually still have self-respect. They respect their borders. They respect their country, you know, and they respect their people first. You know, they put their people first as they should, as we should. But we don't do that.
Right.
Why? It's not because we're like, we're so understanding and, we got to love everybody. No, they love all the votes that they're bringing in illegally. That's what they love, the people in power.
Well, I tell you what, Dale, I think it's even more insidious than that. I do believe that the Democrat Communist Party, which is what I refer to it as now, is actively aiding and abetting the Chinese communists in the takeover of this country. I really believe that. I believe that they're sowing the seeds of literal civil war here in this country. And if it wasn't for the media, I don't think we'd be where we're at right now in this country. But the media is the propaganda wing of the Democrat Communist Party, as I often say, and they have had a massive hand in the destruction of this country. It's amazing. All they have to do is mention something, and pretty soon all the little wokesters out there and all the little useful idiots, as Joseph Stalin used to call them, they will latch onto it. All they did, they began to decry masculinity and call it toxic. And next thing you know, men and boys are lined up outside doctor's offices to have their tattoo rackers cut off. It's amazing the power of the media. It really is. And I hope that they keep a squelch on them there. I believe in freedom of the press like any other guy, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to lie. It means you have the right to present the facts as you have received them and as you see them, like as they are. Literally have the facts and report them as they are. But that's not what our media does anymore. And I pray that whatever media is there in Bali, that they are never given the free rein they've been given here to lie. So my two cents on that, brother. Take it away.
Yeah, no, they won't do that here, man. It's just different. Now, here's one issue I kind of noticed is, everybody looks at the United States as kind of like they take their cue from the U.S. Okay, for example, when the whole Black Lives Matter, propaganda BS was going on, right? That whole scam, all right? It's another joke. But, to your point about the propaganda arm being the media, well, guess what? I saw, and it's still there. In fact, I rode by it yesterday. There was a parking lot nearby in a large parking area, and they actually painted a big yellow fist of the BLM, a BLM fist, right?
But, yeah, that's the communist right fist. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so I said, what are they? I mean, and so they're buying into whatever the U.S. does, right? And they just kind of go along with the program. And it's really the whole world is like that. They always take their cue from the United States. I mean, let's look at, rap music and all the, all the trends over the last 20, 30 years. All that originated here. Now you go to any country, even here, they got rap music, they got all this stuff going on that started as an American subculture, and now it's becoming enmeshed in everybody's culture, right? This whole mindset goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And so in a lot of ways, we as American, I was talking to my British friends about that the other day. I said, you better hope Donald Trump becomes the president, because it's not just Americans going to suffer. The whole world was going to suffer. And they were in agreement. At one point, I remember a few years ago, they were totally anti-Trump, but now they're nodding their heads going, yeah, I see what you mean now. Yeah, we're all in big trouble. Well, it's too little too late. I don't think Trump's going to get elected, not because I don't want him to. I want him to, but I think they're going to stop that man. If they don't kill him first, they're going to stop this guy from getting elected. And there won't be an election. I keep saying this. People think I'm crazy. Mark my words. There will not be an election.
I've said the same thing.
They will figure out a way to stop him. Yeah. They'll stop it. They're going to stop it.
Yep. They cannot let him back in there because they know retribution will be nearby. And rightfully so. There's a lot of people in this country that need to be arrested, tried, convicted of treason, and given a right fine hanging in the public square. And I say that with charity, of course. Yeah.
No, and you know what? And you said retribution. There will be retribution either way. Mm-hmm. They sabotage this election again. There will be retribution.
Oh,
I have a feeling this time. I have a feeling this time the people on the right are going to say, that's enough's enough. You scammed us last time. This whole COVID bullshit. We've had enough. And now they've watched this thing go down right in front of our faces.
Yep.
I think these people are going to go, enough's enough. And here's the mistake the U.S. government has made. They made, and Biden keeps saying this, your AR-15 won't stand to an F-15. This guy's not too smart because he obviously doesn't understand warfare and how it's fought, particularly guerrilla warfare.
Yes.
Because you know what? I'm not going to go up against an F-15 with an AR-15. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my AR-15 and go take out his family, that pilot's family. That's how you fight guerrilla warfare. Mm-hmm. And nobody likes to hear that shit, but that's actually how it's fought. That's how the Mujahideen beat the Russians.
Yes.
And by the way, the Taliban kicked our ass too, okay, whether we want to admit it or not. They were kicking our ass. We tried to fight an unconventional war with conventional tactics, and it wasn't working out.
Yep.
The Taliban, they could lose 100 guys in a firefight. If the Americans lost one, guess who won? The Taliban, because you know what? Their 100 guys are going to be 70-something virgins each, right? So, talk about 1,000 virgins for these guys. They were happy campers. They're going to go to a better place. But they take out one of our guys. It's going to make national news. Everybody's going to be uproar. Oh, my God, blah, 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 blah. That, it's a psychological war. It's always a psychological war. And you know what? The East is winning. We are losing because we look like a clown show with the crap that we're doing. How can you take the U.S. military serious when you got literally dudes wearing dresses in uniform? I mean, come on, man.
It's
sickening. Like people lost their mind. Right. And so, going back to what I started to say this, first of all, they're outgunned. there's no way the U.S. military can take civilians. No way. We got too many guns.
Yep.
And even only 3% were to fight back. Okay.
Yep.
We're not going to fight you head on. We're not. We're going to use guerrilla tactics. That's how it's fought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is, again, why veterans are dangerous, because veterans are force multipliers.
Yes.
You know, when we start training other people and guiding other people, leading other people, and managing these undergrounds and things like that, and these militias, yeah, you know what? U.S. government's got a problem, and they know that. They know that. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to strafe an entire neighborhood with an F-15 or an A-10?
Well,
you know, there's innocent people in it.
That's why they're trying to. That's why they're trying to outlaw paramilitary training in multiple states and on a federal level here now, because, oh, we don't want you training. Well, we're too bad. We're training anyway with or without your permission. So pound sand.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. This is a war. This is literally, we're in a war for our own freedom and our own democracy. It's literally right now. That's what we're doing. It has not gone ballistic or kinetic yet in our country. Doesn't mean it will. I think it will if Trump doesn't make it, because if these guys sabotage it again, there will be a war. And guess what? USG is going to lose. And one of the things I told, when people ask me the question, what should we do? I said, the first thing you do is you take out every news network and every journalist. You take them out. Take them off the chessboard, because they're the ones that are basically, they're the propaganda arm. They're the ones out there lying and misleading people. Okay, whether they do it deliberately or it was just, you know, indeliberate, it doesn't matter. You're still speaking, and you're still affecting the information warfare is what you're trying to do.
Right, they weaponize information.
Right. If you take those guys out, and guess what? U.S. government have a little trouble trying to communicate and also trying to pick up its intelligence, right? And also, they're going to have a difficult time trying to sway the masses, right? Using PSYOP, psychological warfare, trying to get them to do this or try to do that. When you can no longer communicate with the masses, you got a problem, because the masses are going to still communicate. We're still going to figure out how to move forward. In fact, we're going to move forward without communications, because that's, if you can fight without having to speak, without having to talk, yeah, you're pretty dangerous.
Yes, sir.
And so this is my opinion. You know, this is what I think is going to happen. And I think that the outcome will look something like I just described if it goes that way. And, You know, when I said, when Biden says your AR-15 don't stand up to F-15, it just shows you how incompetent and how dumb he is. And what he's trying to do is convince people on the left, oh, be calm. Their AR-15 can't stop an F-15. Well, we don't intend to stop the F-15.
Exactly.
Stupid rocket scientists. That's not the goal, you know? And so, yeah, you know, and so you go on and keep believing that crap. See how that works out.
Well,
for you, you know?
Every time I heard him say that, I laugh softly in Vietnamese, you know. I laugh in Viet Cong. I laugh in Mujahideen.
Right.
Exactly, I like when they say, well, you're that AR-15 is a weapon of war. What do you need it for? Well, to fight against the government if they get despotic. Oh, you think your AR-15 is going to take on the U.S. military? And I go, well, I thought you said it was a weapon of war. Well, which one is it?
Exactly, right? Exactly. You know, and the irony of it is, AR-15, sometime in the 1950s when it was first developed, it was developed as a sporter rifle, a hunting rifle. And the U.S. military looked at it and go, maybe we can modify this and turn this into an M16.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a weapon of war, right?
Yep.
So the original weapon had its origins as a hunting weapon, right? And so the military adopted it. They go, let's turn it into, you know, a combat rifle, you know, field rifle. And so there we are. Now it's become a weapon of war. Well, how about the M1911-45? Is that a weapon of war? How about the K-bar knife?
Yep.
Is that a weapon of war? You know,
the revolver is a weapon of war.
Exactly. Exactly. Hell, I'm a weapon of war, dude.
Yes.
I mean, I don't need a gun. I got a dangerous freaking mind. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God, man.
They think they're going to strip them from our hands. They've got another thing coming. That's for sure. Nobody I'm talking to is going to comply with anything. A matter of fact, Illinois is seeing dismal compliance with their registration schemes right now. And Connecticut is still trying to cajole about 100,000 Connecticut citizens to turn in their AR-15s. And basically, those Connecticut citizens said, don't be sending us nasty grams. We outnumber you badly. There's 1,500 of you state cops that are sending these letters out. There's over 100,000 of us. You really want to kick this bear? And suddenly they get nice and, oh, well, you know, this is the law. You're supposed to obey the law. And they're getting letters back saying, it's an illegal law. We're not obeying it. Bye. Have a great day.
Yeah, you know? Not part of the Second Amendment.
Yes, sir.
Not a part of the Second Amendment. It ain't a law, man. You know, and I would venture to say there's probably a lot of Democrats and liberals out there that own firearms, not turn them in either. You know why? Because they're going, I better keep my gun because we might be fighting the right, and I might want to arm myself, you know, because otherwise they're going to use harsh language and spoons to attack us. Yeah. That ain't going to work out for me.
Among other things, too. So, hey, Dale, let's take a brief commercial timeout and come back in just a minute. Are you able to hold for a moment?
Yeah, roger that.
All right, I appreciate you joining us here all the way from Bali, Indonesia today. We'll be right back with more Dr. Dale Comstock and his tactical mustache after these brief commercial messages from the world's finest sponsor. Stand by.
The Police Hall of Fame and the United States Law Enforcement Foundation, where bold vision and hope align to create a better tomorrow for all law enforcement and the communities they serve by strong advocacy, hard and soft skills training and education, and their many programs of compassion. To learn more, please go to uslef.org or aphf.org.
Sicario's Gun Shop, buy, sell, or trade firearms, purchase Class 3 NFA items, custom builds, gunsmithing, and cleaning. Liberty Gun Safes. Sicario's Gun Shop fully supports our military and law enforcement. Visit online at sicariosgunshop.com or in person at 5325 North Wickham Road, Suite 105 in Melbourne, Florida.
Sicario's, where you come first for your second.
Welcome back to the program. Having a great time today with Dr. Dale Comstock joining us all the way from Bali, Indonesia, as we talk about all kinds of things that certainly affect us here in the United States. He is a, you heard all of his bona fides at the beginning of the program. They're too long to list, and you can just go to dalecomstock.com and see the list of his bona fides there as an American serious badass. Dale, appreciate you holding through the program, brother. Through the break, I'm sorry. Welcome back.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well,
thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. It's an honor. At the beginning, at the first half of the program, we were talking about, what's happening in this country. And we were talking about the potential for violence erupting in this country. And I dare say they're going to be the ones that cause it to take off. It's not going to be us. We're not going to start it, but we daggum sure will finish it. Let's get some pointers from the American badass here on how we should be preparing for a societal meltdown here.
I would start by saying this. The first thing everybody needs to do, particularly on the right, is resolve your own death. And what I mean by that is, you know what? Make amends. Go, you know what? If I die, this is what's going to happen to me. All right?
Right.
If you don't do that, here's the issue with going into combat. If you haven't resolved your own death when you go into combat, as soon as you're faced with a life and death situation, you will very most likely hesitate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're going to hope that, hey, I don't have to fight. I can get out of this because you haven't resolved your own death. What's resolving your own death mean? Well, you know, have you got your life insurance in order? Have you got all your, thing that your finances are ordered, your family order, you know, if you check out, will your family be taken care of? In fact, you know, big picture, you know, just what if we get taken out right now? I've seen guys actually, literally, they weren't prepared to die, and they tried to, like in the final seconds, try to negotiate with the assailant, plead with them, please, 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 no, wait. Boom, boom, boom. They got shot anyways, man.
Mm-hmm.
There comes once you resolve your own death, you're no longer afraid of dying.
Right.
Okay? Because you've already taken care of that. So I would argue with everybody, resolve your own death. Expect that things are going to go very badly. You're probably going to lose internet, maybe electricity, food supply is going to possibly run out.
Yep.
You know, the freedom that you have known, look, and you said it earlier, you know, we're not going to start the war. They are. And what they want to do is they want to invoke martial law. They want us all to stay trapped in their house. They already did a trial run a couple of years ago in COVID.
Yep.
And there's a whole lot of people complied with that, right?
Yep.
And they're like, okay, let's do that again. But this time it's martial law. So I would say, one, resolve your own death. Be prepared to die. Look, at the end of the day, nobody wants to die. But are you willing to die for your family? Are you willing to die for freedom? Okay. That's anybody, man or woman. I don't expect my kids to fight for freedom, but I'm here to protect them. And I'm hoping that, you know, if my wife needs to, she'll pick up a weapon as well. And we'll, free will to defend them and our freedom and die for it. And so most people don't have that, you know, they don't have that fortitude. You know, when we think about the three percenters, you know, where that goes all the way back to, you know, when, you know, the Republic was first, we first fought for our freedom, right, from, you know, our independence, it was 3% of the population who had to go out there and sling lead, while the other 97%, well, you know, went to work every day, you know, went to bakeries and mowed the grass, whatever the hell they were doing, you know, just went on along with their life and let 3% fight for their freedom. And they just totally ignored it, right? So, and I would expect it's probably going to happen again. It'll be 3% of the population that's going to have to carry the weight for the other 97, you know, because the other 97 just doesn't have the fortitude, the courage, or the foresight to understand why they need to get up and fight, mm-hmm. and they're going to leave it to everybody else. So, again, resolve your own death. Prepare. How? How do you prepare? Well, make sure you got weapons, you got water, you got food, you got the things that you're going to need to sustain yourself for a while, particularly in a blackout. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you can't leave the house. And that's the second thing I want to say. Don't obey. They tell you stay in the house. Don't obey.
Amen.
Don't obey. Go out on the street and do your thing. Carry your weapons with you and don't obey. That if once you start not obeying, and we all do that, what are they going to do to us? Just like if we all decide, hey, we're not paying any more taxes. You know, we're giving all our tax money away to Ukraine and everybody else's plan, and you're not giving it to veterans, you're not giving it to the homeless in our country, you're not giving it to the people who can actually use it, you're giving it to everybody else. If everybody just said, you know what, we're not paying any more taxes, watch what happens. The entire government would collapse, and they got no choice. You either make amends and fix this, or everybody's going down. If we would just all pull together, in mass,
yes,
we can make a change.
Oh yeah.
But most people won't do it because they're sheep and they just go along with the program. I was reading a report not too long ago, 80% of the population, 80%, even educated 80%ers, even conservatives, will go along with a program, even though they know it's wrong, illegal, immoral, and dangerous. They'll go along with it just because they don't want to make waves. You know,
yep.
Just go right along with it, right? And part of it's because of brainwashing, and part of it's because of fear. I mentioned earlier, the word I was looking for is information escalation bias, right? So when you repeat enough lies or enough propaganda, people start to buy into it. And that's exactly what's happening right now,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
The government has convinced the left that the right is Marxist fascist, when in fact, it's actually the left that's the Marxist fascist. But, you know, they've convinced them that we're the bad guys. And even when you present facts to these people, they'll know, look, here it is, here's the facts. They won't believe it anyway, because this thing called information escalation bias is part of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hitler was pretty smart on this. Mengele was pretty smart on this. They all knew that. If you repeat a lie enough times, setting up propaganda long enough, 30 days, 60 days, everybody will buy into it. And in its space, will not change their minds. And here we are.
Yep.
We're not going to change the left. I can sit here and all day long throw out fact after fact after fact and ask people on the left, you know, please pay attention, you know, and do that. They're not going to. We're not changing their minds, okay? All we can do now is try to empower the right. You tell the people on the right, you got to get off your ass. You know, when people go, oh, I'm the silent majority, let me tell you what the silent majority means. It means you're a coward. That's what that means. I'm going to say it out loud. When you say you're a silent majority, I'll vote. Well, how did voting work out for you last time?
It didn't
work, did it? All right? And so being silent, well, I'm not going to say I'm just going to vote, means nothing. It means you're a freaking coward. That's not the word I want to use. But I'm going to be nice on the show and say, coward, you're a coward, all right? And so and you know why the left has gotten all the traction they've gotten? It's really a minority of people that have made so much noise. You know, the old adage, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, they made so much noise, and everybody on the right was like, oh, my God, they're making a lot of noise, and they're calling me a racist and a misogynist and this and that and that. And you feel guilty because your skin is white, so you go along with the program. Or you're black, you go, well, I'm, you know, they're going to call me an Uncle Tom, and you go along with the program, you know, because they're making all the noise. And that's how the minority won. Now it's time for the right to speak up, stand up, and stop asking your representatives to speak for you, because they got no juice. They got no balls. They got nothing. Look at the rhinos, man. Nothing is happening.
Yes.
You know, they're in control, and still nothing's happening. They're fighting within. It's time for the American people to take their government back, because it is their government.
Yes.
The government works for them. We don't work for them. All right. We need to take it back, fire all these people. In fact, some of them need to be hung out on the White House lawn and be gutted right in front of everybody. They need to be made examples of what they've done. You know, yeah, because they have actually killed people. They have hurt people. They have killed people.
Yes.
Okay. They have ruined many, many lives.
Yep.
And there needs to be a punishment for that, a severe punishment. I'm not afraid to say that. But the people on the right need to come together and say, this enough is enough. It's going to suck. It's going to hurt fighting back. It's going to hurt having to change our lives and go suffer, because we're going to have to suffer because we're not going to go to work. We're not going to paycheck. But we're going to have to do it if we want to restore, you know, order in this country and get our freedom back and preserve it from here on. If we don't, we're doomed. We're circling a drain right now. Yeah. We're just about done.
If not, we'll be marched into boxcars at bayonet point soon and hauled off to the camps. And people will laugh when I say that and think I'm being hyperbolic. I tell them, you don't understand the people you're dealing with. All you need to do is open a history book, and then you'll get a slight inclination as to what happens when governments go despotic. They go full socialist, they go communist, Nazi, whatever you want to call it. All it was all the same thing. You want to see mass murder and genocide on a scale you couldn't imagine in this country? Just keep letting them win, and pretty soon that's going to be the case. They'll come disarm us, then they'll march us off to the camps, never to be seen again, and that is a fact.
Yep. So to answer your question of what can we do to prepare? Well, one, I'm going to start with resolve your own death. Be prepared to die. Don't plan on dying, obviously, but be prepared. If it comes time to face the freaking wolf at the door, you're willing to engage him.
Yes.
Not hesitate. Right? Two, don't comply with the bullshit.
Yep.
You know, when they try to lock everybody down, martial law, because there'll be something they create, right? They'll come up with a reason why to do it. Don't comply. They're not doing this for your freedom and safety. They're doing this for their freedom and their safety,
yes,
not yours.
Exactly.
And so everybody needs to come to the street and say, no, we're not playing this game anymore. We fell for it in the COVID crap. Many people did, but we're not doing this again. Third part is make sure you prepare yourself with materials, weapons, ammo, food, water, all the things you'll need, batteries. sorry, I'm choking to death here.
You good?
Anything you need to sustain yourself. I'm choking on a Dorito. Anyways, I'm good.
I didn't know they had Doritos in Indonesia. That's awesome. If I ever visit you,
I'm... Oh, yeah, man. Okay. Yeah, man. They got everything you need here, man. Oh, they got all American fare and, you know, all the American poisons and stuff. They serve it here, too.
All right.
But anyways, you know, outside of that, man, it's just it's a waiting game. I had a guy call me about 5 nights ago. I don't even know this guy. He was desperately wanting to talk to me. I thought he wanted to talk to me about, you know, the coaching program I have. And when I answered him at 1 o'clock in my morning, and he didn't even hold back. He just started right up, man, what's going on with our country, man? He goes, what is going on? What can I do? You know, he was ready. He was ready to go do something really extreme, like right then and there. He goes, I'm willing to do anything right now to save this country, you know? And he asked me for guidance. And I said, well, listen, buddy, pretty good chance my phone's being monitored. And, you know, so let's not have that conversation. I said, here's what I recommend. You can go out and make a lot of noise by yourself. If you cannot get a following behind you to support you, you're going to go to jail or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all you can do at this point is just sit and wait, because that train left the station. We're not going to stop it. There's nothing we can do to stop what's happening right now. It's going to go right up until the election. The election is going to say it off, and the election will be, it'll actually be the trigger for what's going to happen next.
I think so too.
At this point, yeah, we can't make a change. That thing's already set in motion. There's nothing we can do. We can all noise we want. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. We're going to have to wait now until that election day, and that's when we all decide what we're going to do. I said, that's when, you know, we might have to go to the extreme measure or not. You know, if Trump gets elected, well, good Lord, man, we're partying our ass off, I hope. But, I said, you just have to take a wait and see attitude, man.
Mm-hmm.
And just prepare yourself for that time. Now there's nothing you can do.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing you could do, Dale, is tell them, look, it costs pennies to do a podcast. Literally. The reason I started shooting, Bill Mick started Shooting Straight years ago, 10 years ago, actually this month, on WMMB. The main reason that burned in my heart was to get the information about our Second Amendment out there, because too many people didn't understand what it really was. And it has gone strong now for 10 years. This program is downloaded in 68 countries and 2,500 American cities now. And it is blown up. And I really like that. But it was because that same fire that your caller called you the other night at 1 o'clock, that same fire burns in me every day. And I sit there and think, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I got to do more. What can I do? And it's just that, tell him to start a podcast and start voicing his concerns, start sharing it with his friends. You have no idea how popular your podcast just might become. Use information against right. them the way they've been using information against us, and put the truth out there, because nothing combats the truth. I mean, nothing combats the lies like the truth. Just like the best thing to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. It's the same concept, just a different yeah. realm. So go ahead, take it away, brother.
Yeah. No, I'm in total agreement, man. And I'm, you know, thank you. First of all, you know, congratulations on the show. I know it's a big show, and we got, you know, my voice is definitely going to get out there. And I'm going to caveat that by saying this, you know, I'm providing information. I want people to really think this through, because most people don't, you know, they probably fell for the whole AR-15 versus F-15, you know, bullshit, right? Because that's the propaganda that the government wants you to believe.
Yep.
But that's not the truth. That is not the truth. Okay. I'm a former Green Beret. I understand unconventional warfare and guerrilla warfare. And, what he mentioned about the AR-15 versus the F-15 is meaningless, means nothing.
Exactly.
Right. So this is why I want to share this information with people, because actually it's public domain. You can look this up. You can download Special Forces manuals on UW, you know, guerrilla warfare and foreign internal defense and all those types of things. This is not something that Dale Comstock made, nor am I going, this is my philosophy, follow me. I'm just saying this is what's out there. Once you're aware of, you know, the truth, because look, there's a lot of conservatives out there have no clue what's going on. Why? Because they don't listen. They don't pay attention. In fact, nothing I hate more when somebody goes, well, you know what? I don't even listen to the news. It's just so, you know, disappointing and upsetting. I just turn the TV off. But that's exactly what they want you to do. Because if you're not paying attention, they can do whatever the hell they want. And by the time you pick your head up, go, what happened? It's too late.
Yep.
Right? This is why the Roman Empire, right? They say, give them bread and circus. If you give them bread and circus, the dumb masses won't pay attention. We can do whatever the hell we want in the city. And guess what happened? The Roman Empire collapsed,
yep.
man, because they burned it down from within. And here we are again. So information is king here, right? It is information operations. You know, the government's got a big machine out there to pump out all kinds of bullshit. What we've got to do on our side is do the same thing. Guys like me, guys like you, come out to go, hey, here's what's possible. Here's what can be done. It's not over. We do stand a chance. In fact, we are stronger than the U.S. government. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. we as a civilian population are stronger than the U.S. government in every aspect. Every aspect. And so we're letting these midgets, these little munchkins of politicians intimidate us, when in fact we could gobble these guys up in a minute.
Yep.
Remember, they work for us. We don't work for them.
That's right. They work for us. And people don't understand that concept. It's been, you know, these people have forgotten that there are servants, and now they think there are lords and masters, and that needs to change yesterday. But
yeah. Well, and they're breaking so many laws, and they're just doing it blatantly.
Yes.
And you know what? Nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's pushing back. So they go, oh, we can do this. You know, we can just let illegals cross the border. Hey, we can give people's tax money. Hey, we can give them, now we can give them, they're talking about giving them Social Security. Are you kidding me? Who's Social Security again? Mine?
Yes.
I haven't even got Social Security yet, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just getting away with doing it because everybody's going, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And nobody's doing anything about it, you know? And well, we need, and there's, again, this is where Trump comes to play. Trump has managed to position himself where he literally, I'm not going to say he's our savior, but man, he's the one guy right now, probably the only guy, that's got enough mass behind him that we can save ourselves with him at the helm. The left knows it. They got to get this guy out of here. Without him, we're going to be standing here, running around aimlessly, going, what do we do now? Who's in charge? You know, and that's the problem. I would love to be in charge. I just don't have that. I don't have that kind of money. I don't think I have that kind of support. But man, if I was given that opportunity, hell yeah, man. You think Trump was bad? I'm going to be Trump 10X. I ain't taking no shit, man.
Hey, buddy.
You know, well, I'm done with this stuff, man.
Hey, I want a spot in your administration, man. Please, come on. How about Lord High Executioner? Please.
Yeah, dude. You know what? It's got to be that way, man. It's got to be that way.
You have to kick the communists out of this country. That's all there is to it. They have infiltrated every... The upper echelons of this government, they've been in our CIA for a while. John Brennan is a filthy communist,
yep.
and they have commified our CIA and probably our NSA also. Yep. Now they've got this AI stuff that I guarantee you they're going to weaponize against us to create false charges on people. You wait, that's going to happen. They're going to use everything at their disposal. And because of that alone, if we're able to take this country back, those people need to be dealt with severely. And I do mean, and many of them need to be crapping their pants at the foot of the gallows as they watch the people go before them getting dropped and getting their necks snapped. That's what needs to happen. I know people say, well, that sounds violent and macabre. I don't care. This is how you deal with these people.
That's what it needs to be.
Yep.
That's right. It has to be that way. The days of being nice, you know, and be nice to the bad man and he'll be okay.
Yeah, we've tried that.
Those days are over, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, those days are long gone, man. You're right. I think it's going to take extreme measures, man, to turn this thing around.
Sadly.
And people have to be made an example of because they're doing that right now. We started out with Larry Vickers, okay? Larry Vickers is being used as an example, okay?
Yep.
He's being scapegoated, right? Not only him, but many conservatives out there. All those guys sitting, you know, from the January 6th freaking protests are now all considered insurrectionists, even though they weren't armed. And they didn't do anything but just show up to Washington, D.C. They've been sitting in jail how long now and haven't been charged, haven't been tried, haven't nothing. They're just sitting there stewing and while their entire personal life and their professional life around them has crumbled. You know, they got no money, no finances. They got no way to take care of their families. Why? Because they went up there and said, hey, we are not happy with what happened and we want to talk about this. I remember I got elected. I'm not elected. I got invited to go up there. And I said, you know what? Are we going to go up there with guns? If we're not going up there with guns, I'm not going. And they didn't understand what that meant. I said, otherwise, you're going to go up there. A million of you are going to go up there. You're going to stop your feet. You're going to huff and puff. And you're going to say mean things. And then what happens? Nothing. You're going to leave and nothing will change because nobody will take you serious. Mm-hmm. But if you go up there a million man strong, all armed to the teeth, you occupy it by force, now you just made a statement. You made a real statement. And guess what? Things are going to change. No U.S. government's not coming in there. That'd be the last war they ever fought because you're not going to go in and take that many guys with that many guns in the Capitol. That's how you do it. Okay. But no, you know, we tried to play by the rules. And so I didn't go up there for that very reason. I said, I'm not going up there. Now I'm glad I didn't go up there because I know a lot of guys that went up there, didn't do anything wrong. Just went out there and stood on the street like everybody else. Next thing you know, they find themselves on no-fly list, right? They got the FBI knocking on their door, you know?
Yeah.
You got Bank of America turning people in for using a credit card to get a motel or a hotel or buy some gas or some candy bars up there, you know?
Like, yep.
You know, get ratted out, you know, by their own banking institution that you're actually abusing and they're making money off you. And they're going to freaking, you know, snitch you out for something you didn't even do. And so here we got a guy sitting in jail. They lost their freedom for nothing. And it's not an insurrection, okay? Everybody, no, it's not. To be an insurrection, you better have guns.
Yeah,
there are no guns.
Exactly.
Nobody was armed, right?
And none of them were charged with insurrection either, funny enough.
Yeah.
So
why are they sitting in jail?
Yeah. Well, I was invited to go to that, too. And at first, I wanted to. And then I said, you know what? Something stinks about this. And I had a feeling that it was a false flag event. And what has been turning out lately? Well, we find out first the FBI had over 200 agents in the crowd, working them into a frenzy, trying to push them to go into the Capitol and basically entrap them. Now the reports about the CIA being involved in it. Gee, what could go wrong? You know, spider sense went off and I said, I ain't going to that thing. Something ain't right. And boy, I'm glad I listened to my gut on that.
I'm with you on that, man. I didn't go either. I'm looking at my friends going, shit, should have went with a gun. If you're going to be charged for insurrection, then go actually do an insurrection. You know,
right.
If you're going to do the insurrection, make sure it works, you know, and make sure you got enough ass behind you that you can occupy by force and you can now force them, compel them to meet your demands and make that change. You know, go back to the ballot box, whatever it takes to make that change. And if Trump truly did lose, okay, we sorted it out. But you know what? At this point, the U.S. government has lost all confidence. I've lost all confidence in the U.S. government, the FBI, the federal agencies, all of them. You know, I don't know anybody that really has any faith and confidence in them. In fact, I don't trust them 100%.
They're all domestic enemies of the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Every last one of them.
And they are. And so now this goes back to our early conversation. We're kind of at this point where we pretty much don't have any more options. We can't even go to the Supreme Court because they're all tainted. You know, not all of them, but, you know, to get to the Supreme Court, you got to go to a whole bunch of other courts just to get there. And that they're all got liberals sitting on those desks, and those benches, and making, you know, like this freaking guy right now, they're just fucking fined what, Trump, $450 million?
Yeah.
you know, are you kidding me? And I mean, you ever look at the guy? I mean, the guy looks like, he looks like a, man, he looks like a pedophile, man. He looks like a freaking loon, man. And his whole face, you know, and I'm like, it's not even the outside exterior. I know what the interior is made of. The interior is just made up of freaking demons, man. He's just a human. I mean, he's a bad human being, you know. But here we are, man. You have no legal recourse. You've got the law enforcement you got to be afraid of, not because you're doing anything wrong, because you're doing everything right, you know. And you're speaking up. You're practicing your First Amendment rights, and you're being punished for this stuff. And the only way to fix this, the only way to fix this, is the people are going to have to rise up and fix it.
Yes.
That's it. There's no other course.
I think
there's
if we rose up en masse and even did so under arms if necessary, not to go attack them, but just to stand up in a show of force, I think that would be absolutely wonderful and go a long way into fixing things around here. It's just like West Virginia. Was it Virginia or West Virginia when Governor Northam was trying to pass gun control and ram it through? A lot of patriots showed up at the Capitol there with firearms, with long guns, with their handgun, with their sidearms, and wearing vests, and got their attention in a big way. And they didn't try to attack anybody. They just let them know, hey, this is who we are. We are here, and we have the means to defend ourselves. So you can pass all the laws you want, but good luck enforcing them if we say you're not going to do it. And that's what needs to happen. Absolutely. I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, I agree, man. Now, how do we motivate everybody to do that, right? Most people are, you know, they're just going to work from 8 to 5, you know, minding their business, collecting their check, getting the weekends off, asking for 2 weeks vacation every year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just they're good little slaves, you know, and, you know, not willing to fight for their freedom. They want somebody else to do it for them, but they don't know who they want to do it for them. They think the U.S. government's going to do it for them. Well, the U.S. government is actually the ones you're trying to defend yourself from.
Uh-huh. You know?
And so the only person that can fight for you is you and your neighbors and your family and your friends. That's it. And are you willing to go out there and do that? And to do that, you got to go back to what we started with, resolve your own death. First of all, you got to prepare yourself for dying, arm yourself, and then don't comply. Don't comply with the BS. Don't comply with martial law, because that's what they're going to try to use. The other thing they're going to try to do also, and it's coming faster than we know, is digital currency, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that is the actual, that's the ball and chain right there. If they can implement digital currency and take your dollars from you and go digital, they got you. They got us all good. And now they got us, right? And look, Australia just apparently did that. They literally now are all on all banks in Australia, and they're going fully digital. And you know what? I love it when the Australians go, you know, America's got all these, you know, mass shootings because of guns, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, how, what do you think now, man? You don't have any guns. And what are you going to do? Yeah, you have to comply. You get to be a good little slave because you can't defend yourself. At least America, at least we still have our firearms. We still have that Second Amendment, and we still have a chance. And we could be the beacon of hope for the rest of the world. They see us rise up and exercise our Second Amendment right. They'll go, maybe we should have guns too in the future. I mean, when they took over Hong Kong, I didn't say took over Hong Kong, but when the British handed Hong Kong back to the Chinese, I was there during that time. I watched those riots going down the road. No, I shouldn't say riot, protests. The protests going down the road. They were waving American flags. They were yelling for 2A. I mean, they wanted Second Amendment. You know, it's like, well, you don't have Second Amendment. You don't have guns. So
you have no power.
I don't care how many millions of you. Yeah, they had no power. Millions of them on the streets chanting and huffing and puffing and stomping their feet. And guess what? Nothing happened. A lot of them are in jail now, too, right? So, man, you can't say enough for the Second Amendment. You know, people, you know, try to conflate, you know, hunting with, you know, firearms. You don't need a rifle. You don't need a military-grade weapon, blah, blah, blah. You know, all this stupid stuff. At the end of the day, yeah, you do need a military-grade weapon because you're going to be fighting the military. You're not going to be fighting deer and rabbits. You're going to be fighting freaking soldiers that are going to turn on American people.
Yeah,
Not Rome are going to do it. I don't think combat arms will do it, but you know, I don't think the government's expecting the 82nd to come after us, because these are still patriots. Most of these guys are right-leaning conservatives, anything with special forces, SEALs. The guys they're going to recruit are all the guys in their support. You know, hey, you guys grab your guns and you go out and do the mess. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
But that ain't going to go far either, man. That ain't going to go far either. I think most Americans in the military are not going to take those unlawful orders. They're not going to shoot on American people. There will be some that will try.
Yep. Well, they're trying to fill the ranks of American police agencies and also even our military now with illegals.
Yep.
Because the illegals will say, hey, as long as you keep giving me those $5,000 gift cards and a free cell phone and a place to stay, I'll shoot all the Americans you want. People laugh at me when I said that, but suddenly now we're seeing illegals being sworn into the military and into police departments.
Law enforcement.
Into law enforcement. Yep. Matter of fact, I think there was like 10 different Chinese military age men recently sworn into various police departments in California, which is kind of fitting because they're all Chi-Coms there anyway. But people say, well, that I don't think that'll ever happen. Royce, you're just worried about nothing. And then I point to it and say, well, here it is. What did I tell you? I hate being right sometimes, you know?
that's another hard pill to swallow too. Getting arrested by a cop that's not even an American citizen. Think about that for a minute. Yeah. That ain't going to happen.
No.
Now, I wouldn't know if you're an American citizen or not, you know, probably till after I've been arrested or whatever. But you know what? It's that kind of mess we've got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to stop, man. We're the only country in the world that I'm aware of that allows this madness, because I've been to over 101 countries, either lived there, traveled there, or worked there. And I don't know of any other country that allows what we're doing, allows that to happen in their country. You know, maybe some exceptions, Europe now. It kind of went along with with kind of like the Pied Piper, man. They're following Americans. Everything we do, they do, you know, and the Brits and Australians. But the rest of the world, they're not complying like that. They're not playing that game, man. They're still protecting their citizens, their borders, and they're not going to tolerate this weirdness that's coming in. They're not going to tolerate non-citizens coming in and hurting their people. Like I said, here in Bali, man, if I go out right now, and even if a guy started trouble with me, a local Indonesian, and I will haul off and knock his teeth out, I'm going to jail, and then I'm going to get deported. No question. Even though my wife's Indonesian, I have a visa to live here. Yeah, they're going to send me if they don't put me in a bottle of motion first, they're going to send me on the first thing smoking out of this country. That's how it works here. You do not put hands on an Indonesian citizen. But in America, hey, you come and kill us, rape us, you know, rob us, do whatever the hell you want, you know, and nobody will do anything to you, you know?
Yep. ain't that the truth? Well, you know, I've said something many times here on this program, and I'm going to share that with you after we take one more brief commercial timeout. Dr. Comstock, can you hold just a little bit longer?
Yes, sir.
All right, be right back with more of the American Badass himself here on the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Stick around. We got a lot more to go. Welcome back to the program. We have been honored to have Dr. Dale Comstock, the American Badass, and you can get the book, The American Badass, on Amazon and many other places. It's on Kindle also. You can also go to dalecomstock.com to read his bio and to learn some very good, some lessons and tactics on simply being a freaking man. How about that? Dr. Comstock, welcome back, brother. I know you got to leave soon. You got to go pick up a buddy of yours from the airport. So in the time we've got left here, I think we were discussing during the break, I believe the American people that have been the free, responsible exercisers of the Second Amendment have been the primary bulwark against tyranny in this country and still are. I think we are the only, I believe, entity that has kept these communists from overrunning our country a long time ago. I've said this before. I only agree with Mao Zedong on one thing. And he said, political power grows from the barrel of a gun. And I liken that to the people there in Cuba. They're unarmed. They have no political power. Australia, England, they gave up their guns and now their governments arrest them for Facebook posts or for using non-DEI language and other kind of crappy things. So yeah, you've been all over the world and you've seen it. And you've probably seen a lot more than the average person. And now you look back at America and what's happening to it. I can't help but think you just got to sit there and shake your head sometimes, brother.
Yeah, I do. In fact, that reminds me of, I had another guy call me this morning. And again, he's actually pretty wealthy. And he's basically, he's asking me, He wants to move to Bali. He wants to come live here. And I said, why? And he goes, I want to get out of this country because I don't know what's going on. I can't live here anymore. I can't tolerate the crap that's going on. He just wants to escape. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I don't know about you, but if the crap hits the fan in the States, I'm going to catch the first thing smoking back and actually fight for my freedom and my people, my family over there. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not running, and I'm not going to give it to the left. You're not going to get my country, especially one that me, my father, my son, my sister, my family has all fought for. Yes. I mean, I come from a long line of soldiers and sailors, yes. And so I'm not going to just hand it over to you guys without a fight. And you're not going to steal what I have defended and what my family has defended and died for. It's not going to happen. Not that easy. So I'm not running. I'm just living somewhere else, living a peaceful life. That way I don't have to put up with their madness. But I'm watching and I'm listening. I don't turn off the news. I'm watching. I'm assimilating. But yep. To your point, you're right. You know what? The reason, it's the same reason, you know, the Japanese invade America. You know, they say, well, you know, behind every blade of grass is going to be a guy with a gun. Yeah, you're right. And same thing, that still stands true today.
Yes.
Except we're going to have behind every blade of grass, there'll be a guy with like 5 guns or 10 guns, right? And pallets full of ammunition, man.
Well, I'm glad you live in my home state, brother. So when you come back, you give me a holler and we'll hook up. I'm telling you. Plus, I work for a very large firearms manufacturer. You need to come tour the facilities too. So,
but you're right. That's the Second Amendment has been the deterrent. But, you know, they know that, but here's what they're trying to do. So it's one thing, we all have weapons, right? And we're brandishing our guns, go, yeah, you come mess around with me, watch what happens. It's another thing to have a gun and not be able to actually use it or have the will to use it, mm-hmm. right? And so here's the thing, you know, the weapon is nothing but an instrument. It's just a tool.
Right.
You are actually the weapon.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't have the think of the gun as nothing more than an extension of your will. That's all it is, mm-hmm. an extension of your will. If you don't have the will, the gun is useless.
That's right.
It's useless. And so, you know, you can go out and buy all the guns you want, but if you don't have the will to actually use it, then it means nothing. And so what are they trying to do? They're trying to scare people now. You know, all this crap, you know, they're going to come and confiscate your guns or records checks, this and blah, 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 blah. Even, you know, talking about, you know, not allowing veterans, particularly those that are disabled with PTSD from owning firearms, you know,
right.
some shit they made up. So, you know, to keep the most dangerous men on the planet from having a gun.
Exactly.
And it's all an attempt to disarm us. And they don't actually take our weapons, they want to disarm us psychologically. Take away your will to fight.
Yes, sir.
Right? Your will to resist. That's what they're doing. And so you can have a gun, but you got to have the will to use it, right? You are the gun. You are the weapon. And that gun is, that weapon, that AR-15 is nothing more than an instrument. That's all it is. Just like a knife, like a slingshot, a bow and arrow, whatever. It's nothing more than a tool, and you are actually the guy that pulls the trigger, and it's your will that does the damage. I remember not too long ago, so BBC did a documentary on it. It came out about 6 weeks ago. It did quite a bit, man. Got a lot of feedback on it, but BBC came to Florida to interview me about some of my stuff that I've been doing in the past, and they wanted to film me training, blah, blah, blah. So then we ended up going to a shooting range, indoor shooting range. And so I'm shooting, they're filming me, you know. And then finally I looked at the producer and the cast and the crew there. And I was like, hey, you know what? I know you guys are from Britain and you don't get to shoot guns. You only get to stab people. But would you like to shoot a gun? And so the producer was all, oh, my God, yeah. She jumped up there and I give her a Glock 19, you know, 9mm. And I'm coaching her, you know, very basic stuff. Okay, stand like this, hold the weapon like this. I'm going to stand behind you, full safety, you know. And, you know, we've already mounted the gun. She's not drawn or anything. Just take some shots. She took about 4 shots. And then she looked at me just completely disheveled. She's like, take the gun. Please take the gun. Like, wow. So I grabbed the weapon out of her hand. Literally turned around, runs out of the room and out of the building, goes to the car. Doesn't come back. I'm like, well, what happened there? I cleared the weapon. You know, we cleared everything up. Later on, we were at my home. Going to get ready to do this interview. She comes out of the bathroom and I look at her. I go, so what'd you think about the shooting? And her eyes, I mean, she looked at me. She was just like, you know what? She goes, I was mortified. She goes, it was so scary. It was so so loud and so much power, you know? And she goes, I never want to do that again. And I use that as a training opportunity, a teaching opportunity. So the whole crew was sitting there. I was hoping they'd film it, but I don't think they did. And even if they did, damn sure we're not going to air it. What I said, you know what this gun represents? I said, the gun represents power. That's all it represents. I said, and the reason it's so scary is because you can't control that power. You don't know what to do with it. So you'd rather get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's what most people in America want to do on the left. Get rid of the scary thing because right. I can't control the power.
Exactly.
I said, but once you learn how to manage a firearm, clear it, load it, shoot it, control it safely, guess what happens? That power from that weapon is now transferred to you. You have the power. The weapon becomes an instrument, right?
Yep.
So who's dangerous? You or the gun? You are. You've always been the danger, right? Your incompetence, all right? Your insecurity is what made you dangerous. It wasn't a firearm. But once you have that confidence and you're no longer insecure and you feel like, hey, I'm confident I can shoot this weapon, guess what? The gun has no power. It just becomes an extension of your will. That's all it is.
Yep.
And, try to explain that. You just can't explain that to people. They're just, again, information escalation bias. You're just not going to buy into it.
Yep.
So here we are. What do we do? You know, at the end of the day, I don't think there is nothing else we can do. We reached the end of the internet. And so at this point, now it's time for action and no longer words. That's what it's going to take. And the trigger will be the election. And I hope the left is ready for the consequences. If they cheat again or they do something to that man that we all want, there's going to be consequences. I don't know what those consequences will be, but I have a pretty good idea. It ain't going to be good.
Yes, sir. I believe that. Brother, I know you got to get going. I really appreciate the dickens out of you joining me again today. And I hope we can have you back on again soon. Maybe even live in person if you have to head back to the States for some sort of exigent emergency. And brother, I appreciate you. Enjoy yourself out there in Bali with you and your beautiful wife there, man. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, brother.
Thanks for having me. Anytime. Appreciate it.
Okay, man. Can you hang on for a couple of seconds after I sign off?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, brother. Be right back. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Never forget, you stay in contact with your reps. You lower the boom on them. You let them know they're not in charge. You are. And you hold their feet to the fire. You keep a loaded firearm on your person. Stay armed up. Stay trained up. And never forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce and the American Badass are out of here.